This is episode 422, dated Friday, July 25th, 2025.
You are listening to the In Perspective weekly podcast with Bob Branco and Peter O'Toole.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to In Perspective. My name is Bob Branco. Glad to be with everybody today. This is episode 422, dated Friday, July 25th, 2025. Before we continue, allow me to introduce our good friend and colleague and co-host for today's show, Peter O'Toole. Peter, what's going on today?
Typical Coos Bay summer day, sunny, breezy, about 65 degrees outside. Beautiful day.
We were humid and partly sunny, and we've had a bout of thunderstorms in the past hour or so, and that's supposed to clear up the humidity some. That's what we are like here in southern New England. Before we continue, let me thank those people who make it possible for In Perspective to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer. Thank you very much for what you do, along with the media outlets. Thank you for airing us when you do. It is much appreciated. And, of course, Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions. Thank you for archiving our programs on my website. To hear them, go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to In Perspective Podcast. Click on them, and you will see most of our archives from latest
merci,
to earliest.
Jackie. Merci, Jackie.
All right. I would like to say hi to some people. Okay, first of all, I would like to say hi to Cindy, our facilitator, and Brad, our streamer here at In Perspective today. And because we are being streamed live, I would like to give out my email address. It is bobbranco93@gmail.com. That's bobbranco93@gmail.com. I also want to say hi to Linda Lambert, who listens to us faithfully. Thank you, Linda, for your correspondence. We appreciate it. And also, if you recall, last Friday, we had an author on our show talking about her book on centipedes. So I asked a trivia question last Friday, hoping that I would get some correct guesses to it. And we did get one. The question that I asked was, who sang the hit song called Centipede, which was released in 1984? The answer is Rebe Jackson, Michael Jackson's sister, Rebe Jackson. And congratulations to Linda Lambert for correctly guessing that. Congratulations, Linda. Today we are here with Malachi Fallon from the Xavier Society for the Blind. They're an organization that sends out accessible religious material, either in Braille, on cartridge, perhaps in other means, but I'm not sure about that. But Malachi will answer that for us. First of all, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be here. Appreciate the opportunity.
It's great to have you. And let me just say up front that I deeply appreciate the New American Bible that I sent away for that I heard about from your organization. It's available on cartridge, and I'm very, very grateful that you offered it, and I'm happy to have it.
Great. I'm glad you're enjoying it. And we did re-record that earlier this year, and the whole Bible is now available, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. So glad you're enjoying that.
And I also receive some Braille materials from your organization on a monthly basis, pretty much, including the propers for masses. We appreciate that very much, the fact that they are available to blind people in that format in case blind people want to be lectors, for example. This would help them out with that.
That's right. That's right. And the mass propers in Braille are actually the largest offering, if you would, of our services. So the mass propers go out every month to over 800 people across the United States and in 20 countries outside the United States.
Well, I'm one of those 800 people. So thank you again. Tell us what the Xavier Society for the Blind is all about. Give us a background on it.
Sure. So this year, believe it or not, we're celebrating our 125th anniversary. So we were founded in 1900 here in New York City. We had two co-founders, Father Joseph Stahlman, who is a Jesuit priest in New York City, and Margaret Coffey. And Margaret was a young blind woman who taught blind children religious education. She taught them about their Catholic faith. And she was upset that those students did not have the same books available, the same reading materials available that their sighted classmates had. And she wanted to do something about it. So she got together with Father Joseph Stadelman and founded Xavier Society for the Blind in order to produce books. We weren't using Braille at that time. It was New York Point was the raised print. So began producing books in larger quantities for her students. And not only was she one of our co-founders, she was probably our first and largest donor at that time. And she donated $350 to allow Xavier Society to purchase a stereograph machine, which allowed Xavier Society to produce books in raised print in larger volumes. So a great history, a very dynamic and courageous young woman who saw a need in the blind community and decided to do something about it.
Well, we're very fortunate that that happened, and we appreciate very much what's offered to us, very, very much so.
Yeah, and go ahead, Bob.
Go ahead. No, Peter, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so talk about, the history. You've obviously been around for a while. Presumably switched to Braille when, tell us about some of the high points of your history.
Sure. So yes, as you suggest, eventually, we switched to Braille. And then as new technologies were introduced, we began to record audio books. So initially, vinyl records, reel to reel cassette, and, now on cartridges that are capable of being played on the digital talking book machines that are provided by, BNLS. A few years ago, because of financial issues, we discontinued much of what we were doing in large print. But fortunately, over the last year or so, we've begun to reintroduce some of our offerings in large print. And now we have the Bible, the New American Bible, the Revised Edition, which is the version that's approved by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops for the Mass in the United States. We have that available in large print, and we've begun producing and distributing the Mass propers in large print as well.
So we all should know that tomorrow is the 35th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act signing. Happy birthday, ADA. May you continue to be a beacon for what we're trying to accomplish in the disability community. How did that law impact your work?
So I would say I think it created an awareness that people with disabilities, whatever the disability, that they needed to have the same access, both physically, mobility wise, and to reading materials as it, affects Xavier Society as the general population. So I think it created an awareness that people should have these resources available. And I think, around the time it helped organizations like ours, to continue to serve the population that we serve. And I'm sure at that time also, although I wasn't with Xavier Society at the time, it probably created great awareness which helped with fundraising for us as well. Everything that we provide free of charge to our patrons. So the fundraising aspect of it is very important to us as well.
Good,
Bob.
I'm sorry. I know two people. One is deceased right now. One was a blind lector. Another one, actually, they both were blind lectors, but one passed away. And these are people that live in my district here in southern New England, or one lived in my district, one still does. And I just want to emphasize to people just how easy it can be if you are willing to be a blind lector at your church. I think it's a great thing. I almost considered it at one point, especially when I first heard about the Xavier Society and the fact that you offer the propers. I considered it, and who knows, I still may do it in the future. I don't know at this time. But the one thing, as I just pointed out, that opened the door for me to think about it was the fact that the Xavier Society for the Blind exists and offers the accommodations for somebody like me.
Yeah, and Bob, I think it's, you know, it's important for people who want to participate as lectors at the Mass, but it's also important for people just, you know, attending Mass, right? And I often use the story when I was growing up and going to my parish as a child, you know, you'd walk into the church. Oftentimes there was, you know, an usher or several ushers in the aisles. And as you went into the pew with your family, you were handed a missalette. And that was just taken for granted. And if, you know, there wasn't an usher there when you got there, there was always a stack of missalettes, you know, in the pew bench, in front of you. So
yes,
things like that everyone else, takes for granted. Are not always available for people who are blind or visually impaired.
For those who are Catholic or don't know, what is a missalette, you called it, and what is a lecture?
So a missalette is just contains the readings, the Bible readings from the Old Testament, the New Testament, some of the prayers that the priest will use during Mass, and the congregation's responses to some of those prayers. And then for someone to lecture, so the priest often will say the gospel, will do the gospel reading. And then often there's also a first reading and a second reading, first reading from the Old Testament, second reading from the New Testament. Oftentimes that will be a lay person, you know, non-clerical, non-priest, who does those readings. So those individuals are considered the lectors at Mass.
So if I live in Oregon and you guys are in Massachusetts, is it so it doesn't matter what Catholic church you go to, it's the same testament Bible readings and all that stuff?
That's right. So the church is on sort of a cycle of the readings and the prayers throughout the year. So if you show up for Mass, Sunday Mass or daily Mass at a church anywhere in the United States, it's going to be the same prayers and readings for that Mass, for that day's Mass.
And approximately how big or long are these missalettes that you get that are put in Braille? How many pages or, you know, how does that work?
So typically our monthly Mass propers, and I know this because I look at the invoices for the production of them, are typically, you know, they range between 80 and 95 pages of Braille.
And that's for the month, correct?
That's for 1 month, and that includes the prayers and readings for the four Sunday Masses in that month.
And obviously there are months with five Sunday Masses, so that would be a little longer, right?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. And when you get to sort of the holiday season, like, you know, Christmas or Easter or for that matter, Good Friday, which is not on a Sunday, obviously it's on a Friday. Is there more stuff to be read?
Yep. So they're special, for Holy Week around Easter. There are special, masses and readings. So that's sort of a separate volume, that we send out, during the Easter season that contains.
And that includes other holy days of obligation throughout the season, correct?
That's correct. Absolutely.
So the lector's primary job is to read the two Bible readings the priest doesn't read. Is that correct?
That's right. And then there's also what's called the Prayer of the Faithful. You know, just the intentions, you know, prayers and intentions for the congregation, that are typically read, at each Mass as well. So the lector will handle the Prayer of the Faithful as well.
So the few Catholic masses I have attended, usually there's quite a bit of, or some singing, right, that the priest does. You know, he might sing certain things depending on the service, the church. The lectors sing as well?
Typically not. I mean, usually there's, you know, the music director or someone who leads the choir, that leads the singing. But a point there is that we also provide, hymns, in Braille. So for people, for our patrons who are interested in having the lyrics, to certain hymns, those lyrics, those hymns are available from Xavier Society in Braille as well.
Is that
because a lot of us don't know what hymns are going to be sung, in upcoming masses. So would you provide a complete hymn book with all the possible hymns in it that we could sing?
So we don't, but we do have quite an extensive, selection of hymns. And I think most parishes, there are, you know, maybe the 10 or 15 that are the, you know, the favorites that are typically used on a regular basis.
So how did you get into this work, as Xavier Society? What is your title, and what was your journey that got you there?
Sure. So, my title is executive director. I've been executive director. It'll be 9 years in September. And prior to joining Xavier Society, I had a long career, over 30 years in the financial services industry. And part of what I was doing over that 30 years, I was working with larger nonprofit organizations. And I thought at some point in my career, before I got too old to change careers, that rather than just working with nonprofits, I'd like to work for a nonprofit. So I had an opportunity, again, about 9-10 years ago, to leave my employer at the time, and I decided to go back to school, and I pursued a master's degree in nonprofit leadership, and that was a one-year accelerated program. And at my alma mater, here in New York City, Fordham University. And Fordham bills itself as the Jesuit University of New York City. So at just about the time that I was graduating, a couple of the deans for the program came to me, and they said they were aware of a small nonprofit organization that previously had a Jesuit priest over the years as its executive director. But now the board was looking for someone, a non-Jesuit, a non-priest, someone with business experience, but also who understood nonprofits and was also familiar with sort of the Catholic Church and the Jesuit ethos. So I was graduating now for the third time from Fordham University, a Jesuit school. So I think the stars aligned for me. And I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. So I applied for the position, and fortunately in September of 2016, I was hired to be executive director for Xavier Society.
And are you blind?
I am not.
Okay. So how did you get interested in sort of deal, you know, working with blind people?
So again, it wasn't that I was looking for a career or looking for a career with a nonprofit that serves blind people. It was that, you know, I was approached, for this position by, first it was the deans of the program, and then eventually by, a headhunter. So, you know, I had no experience working with blind or visually impaired, individuals. I hadn't really worked for a nonprofit directly ever in my career. So, it was just completely new to me. But the more I learned about Xavier Society and its history and its mission, the more I decided that, yeah, this is someplace where I could make a difference.
Malachi, we have a Catholic Guild for the Blind that meets on a free conference line. We meet twice a month, and we say the rosary, and then we have spiritual discussion afterward. And this is something that we formed about several years ago virtually. because I guess COVID had a lot to do with it. And plus, we lost our volunteer drivers at our local in-person guild back in the 80s and 90s. So we got together and revived the guild, and now it's a virtual call, and we're very fortunate to have that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful way, you know, to create community. And, you know, again, you know, people often say one of the benefits that came out of the pandemic is, you know, being able to meet virtually in ways that were really unheard of prior to the pandemic.
Are you guys involved with the Catholic Guild, or is that a separate ministry?
So typically, though, you know, depending upon the diocese, like here in New York City, there is the Catholic Guild for the Archdiocese of New York. So it depends. There, you know, some dioceses, which are the larger sort of governing structures of the Catholic Church, you know, across the United States, some may have established Catholic guilds, and some may have established Catholic guilds for the blind. So we're not directly part of any of those. We're an independent nonprofit organization, and we're governed by an independent board of directors.
So I want to go back to your you know, a sighted guy sort of beginning to work to provide services for blind people. And I think you said it for about 9 or 10 years, you've been executive director. Talk about your experiences working with blind people and what you learned over the years about people with disabilities.
So I think the thing that I've learned most is that people with disabilities, and particularly our patrons at Xavier Society, often don't consider themselves disabled, right? They believe that they can do, you know, anything that a sighted person can do, given, you know, given the accessible materials that are needed to do that. So I've been, you know, very much, and I occasionally get corrected or get scolded for saying that I'm inspired by our patrons, because folks will tell me, Malachy, there's no reason why you should be inspired by us. We're just doing what everyone else does and what everyone else wants to do. So that made a great impression on me. And I always talk about the very first year I was executive director, we hold a St. Lucy Mass. St. Lucy is one of the patron saints for blind people. And the feast of St. Lucy, the feast day, is December 13th. And so I started at Xavier Society in September. December 13th of that year, we had our annual St. Lucy Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. And it wasn't at the main altar, but there's a smaller chapel that's just behind the main altar. And it was an evening mass, December 13th, Fifth Avenue in New York City, across the street from Rockefeller Center and all the attendant madness that goes on during the holiday season, during the Christmas season in New York City. And we, you know, it was standing room only for our mass. Our patrons from largely the tri-state area made every effort to get there and, you know, do battle with New York City traffic and the crowds to be with other patrons and celebrate the Feast of St. Lucy as part of their own community. So I've always been very impressed with that sort of commitment and dedication to one's faith.
In our Catholic Guild meetings, Malachy, we not only refer to St. Lucy once in a while. I am familiar with St. Lucy, by the way, but thank you for clarifying who she is. We also mention at almost every meeting St. Margaret of Castello. Okay. She is mentioned in our closing prayer after the rosary. Are you familiar with St. Margaret of Castello?
I am not.
Okay. All right. I'm hoping that somebody is on this call that can tell us more about her, because he introduced her to me too. So I'm only familiarizing myself with St. Margaret right now.
And another sort of question out of Ingrid, St. Lucy, is that also St. Lucia, or is that a different person?
Different person.
Okay. So who is St. Lucy then? What is her, do you know her life, or what made her connect with blind people?
So I think, she was from a wealthy family, and, she was pressured to renounce her faith. And she chose not to. And I believe as a result, she was tortured for that. Oftentimes you'll see, St. Lucy, standing, holding a plate with her eyes, in the plate, which I believe was part of the torture that she underwent. So, because of that, she's held as one of the patron saints of blind people.
So we've talked a lot about, forgive my ignorance. We've talked a lot about the Braille you put out for us blind folk, to help folks integrate better within the Catholic Church. What other services do you provide?
So we provide, again, the Mass propers in Braille, and in large print. We provide the Bible in large print, in Braille and audio. And we also provide books. We provide many books, based upon the requests of our patrons. And then staying true to our mission and to the origin of our mission, we do many textbooks, religious textbooks for children, blind children who are learning about their Catholic faith. So there's a fairly, broad assortment of content that we provide in Braille, audio, and increasingly now in large print.
You know, Malachy, I always encourage blind people to get involved with their churches as much as possible, no matter what religious affiliation they are. I think that it should be mentioned very much so that there are many, many opportunities for blind people in church. I think some blind people that I've spoken to don't believe that that's the case, but if they give it an effort, they're going to be aware that churches really welcome us with open arms. I'm very proud to be a part of my church. I've met a lot of friends, and I'm like one of the family over there at my church.
That's great. And I think you're very fortunate, because I've heard stories where that's not always the case.
Yeah,
I
think it's a mixed bag. My experience, is the way I've gotten involved with the church. I wasn't really successful until I joined usually the choir, because that gave you a support system within the church. That you could be supportive and support other people, and be supported. And it's harder if you just walk, at least for me, if you just walk in off the street. That's been my experience.
For example, Malachy, I have a friend who sings in the choir and she's blind. So she was given that opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think, that's wonderful and that's fortunate. But that's not always the case. I think there's, a greater awareness, that the church, needs to be, more accessible, and more friendly, to people with disabilities. It's happening, in some places it's happened already, and it's happening a lot faster than in other places.
I want to go back.
I don't mind saying at this point that we are all God's children. And I think that's the bottom line.
I wanted to go back. Do Catholics have Sunday school?
Yes.
So it just occurred to me, you talked about some of the books that you put into Braille for children and other folks learning about their faith. Can blind people use that same material as Sunday school teachers?
Yes. And that's often what we do. Right now it's sort of a busy time of year for our Braille transcriber, because he's getting requests for textbooks for children, who will be starting their religious education. And sometimes it's in the form of Sunday school, and sometimes it happens, you know, at other times during the week. But he's in the process of working on requests from students, parents, and teachers for those religious textbooks in Braille.
And is some of that Brailling for the Sunday school teacher as well? You know, sort of the manual how to teach this stuff?
Not really. We haven't had to do teachers' guides in Braille. So it's typically the student edition or the student book that's being produced in Braille.
And you mentioned Braille as sort of, I assume that means sort of on Braille paper, correct?
I'm sorry, say again, please. I didn't hear the
using
first
paper,
part.
Braille paper?
Yes, yes. We do the embossing as well.
Right. Do you also have sort of the electronic Braille? If I were to ask you, hey, can you send me a file that I can load into my computer?
Yes. We also do electronic Braille.
I would like to take this opportunity to bring in some participants who are listening to this program at this time. So I want to remind everybody you're listening to In Perspective, and our featured guest is Malachy Fallon, Executive Director of the Xavier Society for the Blind. So let me ask Cindy if anybody has their hands raised, and if they do, they'll get to ask Malachy a question or two.
Yes, you have three hands up.
Let's
first
do it.
One All is right. Jean.
Hello, Jean.
Hey, Bob. Hi, Peter. And hey. Hi, Malachy.
Hi, Jean.
So I've been a client of Xavier since sometime in the 80s. I can't even tell you when. And I used to be a lector, so I've been getting your Sunday propers right from the beginning. I'm not a lector anymore. I'm a cantor, and I sing in the choir, but I still use those mass propers just to kind of be familiar with the readings before I go, especially if I have to canter. And I do have to disagree with you about the number of hymns, because I have, like, I just counted them, 15 binders, thick binders, full of lyrics for songs that we sing and psalms that I have to know. And my music director keeps adding more and more stuff. I'm running out of room on my bookshelves. Between that and I have the original Braille Bible that came out, I don't know, some years ago. So I'm running out of room on my bookshelves.
How many volumes?
40 some.
Whoa.
Wow.
And that doesn't include the notes and the indexes and all that stuff. That's strictly Bible. Yeah, it's at least three shelves on my bookshelf. But that's the way it was offered then. So I took it. I do want to ask you, you used to put out one time it was every month, and then it was a quarterly, periodical called, Catholic Review. And yes. It had articles from all different periodicals. I take it you're not doing that anymore.
That's correct. So we, the demand for it hadn't been that great. So we decided that our resources could be used elsewhere. So we've not been doing the Catholic Review probably now for the last year or so.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. I enjoyed it because there were articles from all different magazines that I would never read otherwise. But, well, if I'm the only one that wants it, can't have it. So I understand totally. So, no, that's about it. Like I said, I've been a client since back in the 80s, and things have changed. I used to put out a book of the month and the Catholic Review or Xavier Review, they called it. All that stuff came out in Braille. So, I understand that with computers that you were able to cut back on some of that, and, you know, you had to cut back on some of it. So, but anyway,
And if you get our newsletter, we do update in the newsletter our, you know, all of our recent editions.
I do.
In Braille to our catalog. So there's a handful of books every month that are new to our catalog.
Yep. I get your newsletter is emailed to me every month, and
right.
I haven't ordered any books lately, but I certainly have ordered them in the past. So okay. And I'm sure I will. So anyway, so that's it. And just, I'm not sure it was totally clear to Peter. I think it was, but when the mass propers come out, they have the Sunday masses and special feast days that are taking place during that month. So it's not just the Sunday masses in the propers.
Thanks for that, Gene. And while I have you on the phone, talk about your experiences as a church cantor. What does that involve, and how do you prepare, and how is Xavier help with that?
Unfortunately, Xavier doesn't help too much with that, although maybe a little bit. The cantor is the person who sings the psalm, which is sung in between the first and the second readings. And if it's a mass where you don't have a choir, then the cantor kind of leads everything. So I have had really, really good music directors. They send me lists ahead of time of what we're going to sing. And they also send me the words to things when I need them. They also, it used to be I had to record everything on cassette, like the music. Now my music director uses something called OneDrive, which I hate. But she records everything and puts it up there. So I listen to the psalms and learn them that way. And then we have rehearsals, the cantors, once a month where we go over everything. The preparation is basically just learning the psalms. The problem is there's so many different composers that there's so many different versions of them. And so you think you have them, and then they come up with a new one. So I'm on actually tomorrow and next weekend, and then a couple times in August, and I lucked out badly this time because every psalm I have to sing is one I don't know. So every week I have to sit down and learn the next one. But that's how that works. And like I said, I've been doing it for a long time, and I've been really, really lucky to have great music directors that are willing to work with me. Also, I will get off after this. You talked about people with disabilities, some feeling like they're accepted and some not. And Peter, you're right. You have to, and it's not just people with disabilities. I've noticed it with single people a lot. Catholic churches are big parishes. They're a lot bigger than some of your Protestant churches are. And so you can easily get lost in the crowd. So you really, especially if you're a single person or a couple with no kids, you have to find ways to get involved in the parish. And that's how you get to know people. That's how you make friends. Otherwise, you can just go to Mass every week and come home and not really talk to anybody.
What I find frustrating, Gene, is, you know, and this is just my experience. It doesn't mean it's anybody else's experience, is that more than once I would volunteer to be part of some church activity, and I would be told, you know, essentially thanks, but no thanks. And, it can be really frustrating.
I served on my parish council, in several parishes that I've been in, but I do find I don't volunteer for things like picnics and, you know, dinners and things like that because I just feel kind of like I'm in the way. So I don't volunteer for stuff like that.
Yeah. No, it can be tricky.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Thank you, Gene. I appreciate your information.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks, Gene.
Yep.
Cindy, who's next?
All right, you have five hands up now. Oh, Matthew, go ahead, you're up.
Hello.
There you go.
Who's up?
Matthew.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, I can hear you, Matthew.
Hey,
go ahead.
How are y'all doing? Hey, Malachi. It's not Malachi. Say it again.
Malachi.
This is pretty cool. I didn't know about the organization, and I'm going to get involved in it. I do know some folks that were lectors, but they would braille their own stuff out and take it, and Father would let them be a lector that way. I, on the other hand, was memorizing things, and that can get kind of lengthy at times. So this is pretty cool that you do this. I think it's awesome. I guess you guys take donations, right? That's how you guys operate?
That's right. That's right. We're supported by individual donors, and then there are quite a number of smaller foundations with an affinity for Catholic organizations or organizations that serve blind and visually impaired.
Yeah, I'm really involved with the Knights of Columbus in my area, and I will talk with the guys and see about getting support and sponsorship out there to you guys. I think they'll understand it. We're big on supporting things of this nature and the literature, and making sure, you know, we sponsor the books for our our local school and our diocese there every year, so we understand the literature. And I think having this available to those that are visually impaired and blind is just pretty cool. I mean, this is cool. I never knew about this. So thanks for what y'all do.
Let your friends at the Knights know that we do have a book about the founder of the Knights of Columbus available in Braille.
No way. Can I get it electronically?
You have to register first with us as a patron, and yes,
okay,
and you'll be able to get it.
I can so get
let's,
it. Okay.
Let's take care of that. How can people register for your?
Yes. What's the website? What's the website to go to?
So it's Xavier Society for the Blind. .org.
Okay.
Or you can email info@XavierSocietyForTheBlind.org. And then we also have a toll free number. That is 800-637-9193.
Okay.
And we have two client services coordinators. So they can help you with that process. We try to make it as painless as possible. And they can also help you search our catalog for titles or topics that you might be interested in.
Okay. Cool. That's awesome. That's going to be neat. Thank you. That is awesome.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you. Okay. Who do we have next, Cindy?
Hey, Dennis. Go ahead and unmute.
Hi, Dennis.
Come on, Dennis. You can do it.
Dennis.
Welcome. Okay. What?
Okay.
Hey,
sorry.
Hey, there he is.
I forgot to unmute. But I was wondering if you could go into some of the other offerings, such as papal encyclicals and the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and even some of the fictional or spiritual things besides the because I've been a Xavier user since at least the late 70s. And I was a lector for about 50 years or so. And I also utilized you when I was a seminarian for a while at the University of Notre Dame. And I found Xavier very helpful there too. And at one time you had in Braille something called the Liturgy of the Hours. You had it during Advent season to Christmas, and you had it from Lent to Easter. I'm wondering if that's available.
So we, at this point, we don't have the full Liturgy of the Hours, or the, I think it's also referred to as the Divine Office. But we do have part of it that was recently updated, the Abbey Psalms and Canticles. And that's available in Braille. And then as you mentioned, Dennis, yes, we have, you know, if the Pope writes an encyclical, you know, a letter of instruction to the Catholic faithful, oftentimes we'll get a request for that, and we'll make it available. And speaking of the Pope, we recently did, before Pope Francis passed away, his autobiography was published, it was called Hope is the title of that book. So we produced that in Braille. And then with the election of Pope Leo, we just recently published a book called Pope Leo the 14th, Inside the Conclave and the Dawn of a New Papacy. So yeah, mm-hmm. so we try to anticipate what our patrons might be interested in. But you know, much of what we do is fulfilling the requests that we receive from our patrons.
I want to echo something Bob brought up earlier. I know the Xavier Society has this. And it's a book about Saint Margaret of Castello. She was blind. There's not enough time to go into everything, so I'm just going to recommend people to contact Xavier Society and get the book. She was imprisoned for 10 years because her parents rejected her, and she was abandoned in a strange city. She ministered to the prisons, and she taught catechism to the people in her neighborhood, but it's an amazing story, and I know Xavier Society has the book.
Great. Thank you, Dennis.
Yeah.
So Dennis, we were talking earlier about the Catholic Guild. So you Don't you run a group for the Catholic Guild up in your?
We're in the same group, Nellie.
Same group okay. that Bob Branko yeah. belongs to. Yeah, that's the yeah. one you appeared in.
I spoke earlier in the year yep. around St. Patrick's Day. That's right.
Yep.
Thank you, Dennis. It's always great to get your messages that you come to us once in a while. So, you know, making suggestions and so on and so forth. I think it's the Dennis we're talking about. So
I think so too. Thank you, Dennis, as always. All right. So we have any more hands, Cindy?
Yes, we do. We have a couple more. Okay, Sharon, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Sharon. How
Hello.
Are you?
I'm good. I'm a lector in the Episcopal Church and, I braille, what I need to do. And what's made me wonder is, are you using the, Revised Common Lectionary in the Catholic Church now, as a lot of the other denominations are?
So, I'm not familiar with the Revised Common Lectionary.
I think that's what it's called. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but we use what we get for the Mass Propers. What we call the Mass Propers comes from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So,
oh, okay.
It's
so,
sort
okay.
of the officially approved, you know, mass readings for Sundays, mass readings, prayers, responses for Sundays and special feast days throughout
okay.
the year.
And my other question, I think Xavier is X-A-V-I-E-R?
Yeah. Yes.
And what is that? What is that? What is that a person or?
So yeah, so there was St. Francis Xavier, was a Jesuit priest, early on, in the, after the founding of the Jesuit order, the Society of Jesus. And we got started in 1900. We got started at what was Xavier College in New York City,
okay.
Which is now Xavier High School, which is located next to the parish of St. Francis Xavier. So,
oh, there you go. Okay.
We got our name based on the real estate where we were working at the time.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sharon.
Before you go, I'm just curious. You say you braille the lectionary.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I go to the website and it's listed by the each Sunday.
Right.
And I've gotten quite a collection, especially of longer passages that are used cyclically. So I've kept a lot of those.
So do you use electronic braille or do you actually?
No,
braille
I braille it on my braille writer because I do not feel comfortable using a braille display when I'm trying to read to the congregation, in case something happens.
Yeah.
So I prefer to just have it in a notebook.
That makes sense. There's a lot of space. You got to store stuff.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. Right. All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks, Sharon, for your participation. Okay. We have another one, Cindy?
Yes, sir. Christine, go ahead and unmute.
Hello, everyone. This is Christine from Norwood.
Hi, Christine.
Hi. First, I want to thank you so much for all of your services. I've gotten your service for a few years now, and I want to thank you for I also follow you on Facebook, and when they had the mass for disabled people here in Boston at the Holy Cross Cathedral, I knew about that from your announcements on Facebook. So because I follow that.
That's great. That's very gratifying to hear. And we have a wonderful communications manager, Ashlyn Redican, and she does a great job on social media. Not only posting what Xavier Society is doing, but also connecting with other organizations that have shared missions.
Yeah. I kind of wish though that you had a lot more in, audio and large print. I know you have a lot in braille, but, unfortunately I'm not that much of a braille reader. But I do enjoy a lot of your books that, come on cartridge. I know I have a few here that I have to, read in return, but that'll get done. I just wanted to thank you for your service and, I really enjoy it a lot. It's very uplifting.
Right. Yeah, you know, we have about the same number of books available in audio as we do in Braille. So there's still quite a, you know, quite a number of books that are available in audio as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christine. We have about another 6 minutes or so, so there is still time for anybody else to participate with us. Cindy, let us know when somebody raises their hand again.
We don't have any hands up, and it doesn't appear as though Brad has anybody in Clubhouse.
Well, so, if somebody raises their hand, let us know, and we'll...
Come on. Oh, I will.
You're very good.
Got at one.
It. We appreciate it.
And Bob, if I could, I just want to mention, if Jean is still listening, I was just looking at our catalog, and we've now about 550 hymns that are available in our catalog. So we had a good number of those available over the years. We just went through a project to make sure that they were all readily identifiable and available through our catalog as well. So just a clarification on that point.
Man, that was
you
wonderful.
Now have three hands up.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, go Nigel, go ahead.
Brother Nigel, how are you, sir?
I've done mute.
How can I be
heard? You were muted, and I muted you.
We can hear you now.
Ooh, wait, okay, wait a second. Golly whiz. All right, Brother Fallon, welcome to
the... Nigel, you're too soft. Can you speak into the microphone or something?
I'm doing what I can.
Okay,
there we go.
All right, I'm doing what I can. Sorry. Brother Malachy, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Firstly, I'd like to say, which I already did, I am a former reader of the Catholic Review and the Xavier Review, and just for clarification, they were two separate publications, but I'm now on the emailing list that Brother Saul has established, I believe. And just want to point out, thank you, first of all, for taking over the Xavier Society. I really enjoy the ministry and am a welcome and grateful participant in it as well, as most of us are on this connection, I believe. I don't know how much time we have, but I do have a lot of good things to say about the ministry. First of all, I've already said the first of all, so I'll continue. Thanks to technology that exists, we have the ability to log on to the USCCB website to augment what you guys offer as far as the mass as concerned. I have substituted as lecturer from time to time at various masses, although I'm not a permanent lecturer. I do participate in the Handicap Meet Christ ministry, otherwise known as AIM, Achieve, Inspire, and Motivate, which is a ministry for people with disabilities. And I have been asked on some of our retreats and other ministries to lecture, to serve as lecturer for some of the readings. And I would say that, or some of the masses, and I would say that we do have the USCCB website. And the link for the individual masses are available on the website. And the USCCB website is usccb.org. They can find the link that way for the readings. And I would say that that is a suitable augmentation for the mass propers that we offer in Braille. I say we because I am officially a registered member. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take up as much time as I am.
Quite all right, Brother Nigel. Thank you so much.
Okay, you have two hands up, Bob. Okay, Janine, go ahead.
And we have about two minutes to go. Oh, yeah, five? Well, okay, Cindy. All right, yes. Janine, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, everyone?
Thank you.
Good. I've got two quick questions. The audio books that you offer, are they downloadable? How do you access them?
So we provide them, if you request an audiobook, we provide them on the cartridges that can be played on the digital talking book machines that are provided by the National Library Service for the blind and print disabled.
And if you don't have one of those?
We'd encourage you to contact the NLS and get one. And oftentimes, our client services coordinator can help you with that.
Okay. And I'd never heard of the Catholic Guild for the Blind before. Are they throughout the United States? How many are there? Do you have any idea?
Well, I can answer about the guild that I belong to, if that's okay, Janine. We have about 12 to 14 members in our group. We started out locally within the Fall River, Massachusetts diocese. However, we've extended our guild beyond our diocese. We have members from Florida, Pennsylvania, New York. So we've branched out a little bit, and that's fine.
Okay, because I'm in Illinois, and I'm interested in finding one, so... thank you.
Okay. Well, you can look me up. I'm sure there's a way for you to do that. This is Bob. And
yes,
you can just email me reminding me that you were interested and I can try to make arrangements for you.
Cool. Thank you very much.
All right, Janine.
Okay, Bob, you have 2.5 minutes and you got one more hand. John McCann, you're up.
Oh, John.
John McCann, how are you doing, sir?
Okay. Should be unmuted. I'll make this short because, you know, time is precious now. Just want to give you a huge shout out for the great work you do. I'm in Tucson, particularly the Bible, DBC 3100 and 3101 for the New and Old Testaments or reverse of that. Both of those will get you that. I was very impressed. Although I was surprised you didn't do the verse numbers, but that was okay. And I'm very happy to have it. I downloaded it as soon as I heard about it. So thanks for the great and wonderful work you do. And since I'm here, I guess I'll take the opportunity to give a shout out to Dennis Pocelli, who may or may not remember me from 1977, Syracuse program. I was a counselor there and he was, bound for college. So, interesting to hear him after so many years, almost 50. That's scary. And that's all I got.
Thanks, John. I just wanted to make a slight correction. I don't think we have any members from New York in our guild, but I know that we have representation in Pennsylvania, Florida, and of course, Southeastern Mass and Central Mass. So we're growing and that's good. Any final thoughts for us, Malachi, before we have to say goodbye today?
I just want to say I remember John McCann very well from Syracuse University in 1977.
There you go. John Dennis remembers you well.
And just before we get off, the if I have this right, the web address is Xavier, Xavier, societyfortheblind.org. And if people want to register or do what they need to do, they can go there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. As I said, I appreciate the opportunity to get the word out about our mission. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for the services that you provide. May God bless you and keep up the good work. I'm very proud to receive the material that I do receive. And of course, I will continue reading the New American Bible. It's a very great tool to have. Thank you very much. Malachi Fallon, ladies and gentlemen, executive director from the Xavier Society for the Blind. And I would like to wish all of you a great day and go safe with God's abundant blessings. Thank you, everybody, for participating today on In Perspective. I'm Bob Branco, and he's Peter Altschul. Bye for now.